don't have too much time.
Good afternoon, honorable members and SAT, led by the chair and the acting CEO. Let me take this opportunity to welcome everyone to this meeting, where the committee is going to be taken through the two quarters of our entity, South African Tourism, quarter 2 and 3 of 2017-2018. Without wasting time, I would allow SAT to give us a presentation for an hour so that we also have an hour to deliberate and interact with the presentation. I think by now we know each other. We are familiar with the faces. I would not call for any introduction. Thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Honourable Acting Chair and members of the Portfolio Committee. My name is Dr. Tanya Adams and I am the Chair of SA Tourism. And I do know that you know the members of SA Tourism Executive, but I just particularly want to introduce Bashmi Mutaya, who is, this is her maiden meeting as Chief Strategy Officer to the Portfolio Committee. Just very briefly, Chair, if you will allow me to give condolences on the passing of the chairperson of our Portfolio Committee, Meng Noble. I think we will all miss her guiding hand and her probing questions and her soft but hard approach to getting results in this committee. Just want to give on behalf of the board a condolences to you for the step passing away. You indicated that it's for quarter two and quarter three, and we will provide a high level summary both from Bashmi and from Tom, the CEO, on this. And I wanted to just say, Chair, from the board's perspective, just a few things that we are wanting to focus on, that we have a concern about, that we want to make sure that this year we look at very carefully. So one is the domestic tourism. We see that our part of the job, which is the trip, the family trip, is growing. But we see that the general travel is not growing. And what we've been saying at the board is, are we measuring this correctly? Are the metrics, are the data correct on this? So this is an area that we really want to focus on. We were very pleased and grateful that we were given additional funding actually for domestic tourism, and we really want to understand clearly what are the impediments, really look at what are the real impediments to domestic tourism travel 23, 24 years after democracy. So we're going to, this year is going to be a focus on that. Domestic tourism is the backbone really of any tourism economy. When no one else comes here, the domestic travel. And so that's why we want to get that right. The second area that we want to focus on this year as board is on the issue of transformation. Now, we have talked about transformation, and everybody has different angles to transformation. What we want really is for SA Tourism to provide us with a tabulation, with an audit of what are the levers they use for transformation, both in terms of skills development, of SMMEs, of previously uninvolved product owners, on branding, on procurement, on array of things, so that we can look at it in the 360 degrees and say, and then have some targets that actually pull us along. Because I think we know that there's not just one lever for transformation in the tourism sector. It's a complicated economy. And so we can do little things in a whole lot of areas to have some change in that. I've been involved with the tourism sector one way or the other for the last 23, 24 years. And people do not come to South Africa to have a Norwegian experience in the trans. They come because we are unique people, diverse, robust, noisy, And these are the things we want to sell. And we cannot sell that if the majority of our people are not involved with the question. So that's one of the things that we want to focus on. The third area we want to focus on the board is this also linked with transformation, it's also linked with domestic. Is this visible of events, Kathy? I don't know if you know, Chair and members, that many different parts of government spend quite a lot of money doing events. And there's been a lack of coordination and consistency here. And so what we've done at SA Tourism, is that consulted with all our colleagues in the provinces and let them identify what are their key events. And so we are, for the first time really, going to try and have a national event strategy that will include the provinces and local government, and that we will then be able to be transparent, because that's another issue. To be able to be transparent, if you come to me and say, I want my event to be supported, there are boxes that we tick, criteria that we tick that says we will give you money or we'll give you support, etc. And just so we will grapple with that this year, getting an event strategy. The other area that is concerning us is the water crisis. Not so much the water crisis as per se, but the fact that it has an impact on our brand. And so the CEO, for example, has been on a water roadshow speaking to some of our key players in international. We also know that the situation will change tomorrow if there's massive rain. So we want to manage that change as well. And then, just one but last, is we are going to develop this year a case for tourism that the home affairs, that safety and security, that roads, that other departments that all impact on the tourism, the smooth running of tourism, are going to say, wow, if that's what you're saying, that's what the data says about what tourism contributes to the economy, contributes to transformation, etc., then we want to be part of that. We want to be part of making it easier. We don't want to be on the back foot with other parts of the economy. We want to be much more bullish and in front and really play the role we should be playing, which is that we are one of the great growth, GDP growth providers and job providers. So this year we hope it's going to change that. And then finally, we want to go back again to that information and data, go back and get the information, the metrics right. And this will require us to have, again, look at the relationship with STAT South Africa, but also to get data from other sources. And this is another area we want to focus on. So, Chair, just to say, finally, to say one from the part of the board to thank Minister Khaza for her support in the last year, and welcome Minister Derek Hanekom back to the tourism family. Thank you.
Thank you,
sir.
Not to waste a lot of time so that we have enough time for questions and answers. Bashmi, who's our Chief Strategy Officer, will take us through just the organizational performance against what was targeted on both the quarters, but largely her focus will be taking you through quarter three and some of the notes around our performance. And Tom will take us through the financial performance as well, but obviously focusing on your 2 days as well, just to give you a sense of where we are from a finance point of view. The Chair has covered, Bashmi's presentation, the very first part, which is the situational analysis and our focus areas. So if I can hand over to you, just to go straight into the performance areas.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you, Honourable Chair, Acting Chair, and members. In the form of a summary, I'd like to just start off with saying that in terms of quarter two's performance, South African tourism for the financial year 2017-2018, we have a total of 33 KPIs that we are tracking relative to the APP. In quarter two, we achieved or exceeded 16 KPIs. We did not achieve 7. And 10 of the KPIs were not due for reporting. If we then move over into quarter three, of the 33 KPIs, we achieved or exceeded 13, We did not achieve 9, and 11 were not due for reporting. So, Chair, with your permission, I'd like to go through the 9 KPIs that we did not achieve our target and take you through the reasons on that. So I'd like to ask the committee to please refer to slide 20, and we'll start talking through the reasons for deviation. Thank you. So the KPI that we're looking at here falls under Program 3, which is Leisure Tourism Marketing, and the KPI is the number of total domestic trips achieved. The target for quarter 3 was 4.5 million, and the actual achieved for the quarter was 2.7 million trips. The reason for the deviation in this instance, we'd note that there was overall a 39% decline in domestic trips in this quarter, with most of the decreases, 48% of them to be precise, coming from a decrease in VFR trips. So that was the biggest driver for the decrease in total domestic trips in this quarter. The biggest barrier and the reasons that have been cited for the decrease has been affordability. Affordability remains the biggest barrier to domestic travel. And this in the context of the economic environment in the quarter has contributed to the big decrease we've seen. The information that we've received and that we've researched says that consumer confidence in South Africa declined in the second half of 2017 through surveys that were conducted in the country. Food prices still remain high in the quarter, specifically for low-income households, and this is where a large share of the VFR market sits. The negative impact of personal disposable income, the high rate of unemployment, and poor economic growth in the quarter has forced consumers at large to reevaluate their household expenditure, and this has been some of the reasons for the decrease in total domestic trips. If I move on to the number of domestic holiday trips achieved, and this is on slide 21. The target for quarter 3 was over 500,000 holiday trips, 525,391 trips, and we achieved 405,000 holiday trips in this quarter. The analysis on the performance in this quarter was saying that while we did not achieve our target set for this quarter, we have experienced an increase in the number of holiday trips compared to the same quarter in 2016. So we have been seeing an increase, however, it's not at the rate that we had intended to achieve in the quarter. Again, the reasons I've mentioned previously, which relate to the affordability of domestic travel, which is the biggest barrier to domestic travel, as well as the overall economic conditions, has had an impact on us meeting the target for this quarter. We then move over to the next slide, slide 22, and we look at the indicator, the key performance indicator, total domestic direct spend, TDDS, in billions of rand. The quarter 3 target was 4.5 billion rand, and we've achieved, and we've achieved 2.9 billion rands in quarter three. The impact, again, as I've mentioned earlier on, in terms of the economic impact on travel at large, has had a result in us not meeting this target. The target of 4.5 billion rand is a combination of the amount of money spent by domestic tourists on their trips, including the number of trips that they've taken. So the decrease is as a result of the decrease in the volume of trips that we've seen in this quarter, largely, which has brought us down in relative to our target. One of the things that we have, however, noted in our analysis is that the average spend per trip did not decrease. We have seen people spending more per trip. However, there were much fewer trips being taken, which has resulted in ours not meeting the target in this quarter. Moving over to slide 23, and we then look at the domestic holiday revenue. The target was, for quarter three, 2.1 billion rand, and we achieved 0.7 billion rand in the quarter. Again, we know that domestic holiday travel is largely a discretionary expense, and given the economic conditions, the number of trips taken in this space and the spend in this category of travel gets impacted. So the opposite is true for holiday travel compared to total trips. In holiday trips, domestic holiday trips, we have seen an increase in the number of trips taken, as I mentioned previously. However, people are spending less per trip and staying shorter times on their trips. So there's a change in the pattern that we've noted on holiday trips compared to the total trips in the domestic tourism space. And therefore, in this case, it's the less spend per trip that has resulted in us not meeting the target in this quarter. Okay. Honourable members, if I then can move over to slide 25. So relating to program 3, the KPI is the percentage seasonality of domestic, both international and domestic tourists achieved. The target in this quarter was to have a stakeholder engagement and approval of the methodology for setting the improvement in the baseline of seasonality. And in this quarter, the engagement and approval is underway, time-wise was underway, and has been factored into the approach. We are on track to meet the target for quarter four. We then move to slide 27. We are now in program four, which is business events. And the indicator is the number of bids supported for international and regional business events. The target for quarter three was 14, and we achieved 9. And if I can draw your attention to the previous quarters here as well, in both quarter one and in quarter two on this indicator, we have exceeded our target. The tricky bit for us in this space is that we work on what is currently in a pipeline on business tourism and business events largely. And as you may know, that the pipeline for business tourist events has a very long lead time, that these events are thought about, probably about 2 years before it actually happens. And there's also a rotational element to where events are hosted. And this has an impact on being able to accurately track what events we will then be able to bid for and support in a particular year. So our quarter three performance, while it is under target, we have overall already achieved the annual target for the number of bids supported in this KPI. And then finally on slide number 28, we look at, slide 29. We are now in program 5, which is relating to tourist experience. The KPI is the number of graded accommodation establishments. The target for quarter three was 1,517, and we've only achieved 1,218. So some of the reasons for the deviation in this sense is that we have noted some of the changes in the environment as it relates to accommodation establishments, and a lot of the smaller properties are closing down and converting to family residences, and there's a big growing trend to be listed on Airbnb. And this is something that we have noted, and our plans for 18-19 look to how we can address this a lot more effectively. In the current quarter and current fiscal, what we have looked at is we have developed and planned a sales drive and a supporting marketing campaign that will assist and promote the benefits of grading to new establishments, as well as those that to ensure that we get the renewal of membership in place. And that's the summary on the performance indicators that we did not meet. I'll now hand over to the CFO to take you through the finance.
Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, I will first do quarter two and then I will do quarter three thereafter. Thank you. So if I can go to the headings, just to explain the headings. Is it the right one? Yeah. If I can explain the headings, is the AENE is the annual estimate of national expenditure, so it's not the adjusted estimate of expenditure, it's the annual. Then adjustments, remember it was a request from in the past that we need to also carry our adjustments. Then the next column is adjustment estimate, adjusted estimate, annual estimate. Then planned income for that quarter, revenue for that quarter, and then the percentage of income of the annual budget, and then also the percentage of the income of the planned for that quarter. So if one go through the revenue streams, the government is our biggest revenue contributor. It is, I think they normally report back that we get 53% of their budget, and that is the 1.134 billion rand that we are receiving from government. That is on track. We have received 826 million rand to date, and that has been paid to us in the second quarter. Why is the amount so high in the second quarter? Remember, honorable members, that the National Treasury is part of our mitigating the foreign currency exposure. They give us the foreign countries money up front, so that we deposit that in the foreign countries bank account to manage the foreign exposure. So that's why it looks like a huge amount in the beginning of the year. But that's also approved by the National Treasury. We're not allowed to do it without a Treasury's approval. It's not a permanent approval, it's an annual approval. We must approach the Treasury every year if we can get that money up front to pay to them. The TOMS are levies at 124 million rand, which we received, the estimated amount. What we have received included in 124 million rand is the collaborative fund. I've explained previously the collaborative fund. Of the TOMS are levies, 124 million rand, we get 93% of the total revenue collection. From the 93%, 15% is going to collaborative fund where the industry and South African tourism are then in combined projects, executing projects in terms of tourism execution. So So if one goes to the planned income, it was about 62 million rand. We've received 73. And why the 73? We've also added the 10 million rand that we've received for the collaborative fund from the Tomsa board. So that's the reason for the exceeding of that amount. The 62 is the amount that we are entitled to, but in terms of the MOU, that must go into marketing expenditure. In the Indaba Meetings Africa, the projected revenue is 63 million rand. We have received 41 million rand, 38 planned, 41 million rand, 38. Remember, Meetings Africa is only in February, so that's why it's not included in there. The 38 million rand was for Indaba, and then we will not finalize that amount unless we will also see in the third quarter a report in terms of that, we must do conduct a full internal audit in terms of Meetings Africa and Indaba income and revenue, and we will not disclose that final unless it has been approved by the board, the internal audit report, and that was approved in December. Grading fees is 21 million rand revenue. We have received for the second quarter, we've planned 10.6 million rand, 10.273 has been generated. I think there is a decrease, as Basni has explained, there's a decrease in the facilities, but we also get TIP money where we subsidize entities to 80% of their fees they have to pay. There is a growth in that, it took off slow, but it is quite a good growth in that, so I hope that will also resolve our problem in future. Sundry revenue, normally the 20 million rand, the biggest amount of that is the interest that we receive from the money that we receive up front. I must just also indicate that in the foreign countries, in some countries, there is no interest we receive because there is no interest in the countries that we can accrue in the different countries. The 9.45 million rand adjustment which we received in that quarter was for hidden gems that entity that transferred to us for the Indaba event, and that money was then also spent through the Indaba for the hidden gems which we have done. So if one look at the total at the bottom, our total budget is then 1.373 billion rand. That includes the adjustment estimate of the adjustment that we've received. 960, we have planned 960 million rand revenue, and we have already 965 million rand we have already received as part of our revenue streams. So that's 71% of our total revenue that we have received in the middle of the year already. But I must say, the upfront payment of the National Treasury makes a big difference. That might kind of pursue the final figure. But that's the amount that we have received up to the second quarter. If I turn over to page slide 33, I think this is more for program. The support, budget for support was 99. I think it's in front of you. For business enablement is 87 million rand. Leisure tourism was 101, where the biggest amount of money must go, is over a billion rand. Business events is 107 million rand. Remember, in this 107 million rand, we've also received the subvention fund, which is the 20 million rand, which is ring-fenced. So if we do not use that money, then the difference must go back to the treasury, or we must apply for that money to retain it. I will report on that also in the first quarter. But we're doing well on the business event. So included in that 107 million rand is the subvention fund of 20 million rand. Business experience, 62 million rand, is a total budget for that. So I think if I can, not big deviations, if one look at the, we're supposed to be at 50%, almost 50% if one look at the third last column, the expenditure is 59% for corporate support, 69% for business enablement, 53% for leisure tourism, business events 83%. Business events is also, as Basni has explained in terms of her presentation, it talks to her presentation that we will not disclose that as a commitment unless they have signed a contract that event will be hosted in South Africa. So if they do not sign a contract, we do not count that as a commitment. And that's how we also will disclose that as a financial service. Business experience 41%, we're behind on 40, on business experience. And the reason for that is that the grading criteria was not approved as yet, and the money was set aside to go out on a campaign for the new criteria that was supposed to be approved. Okay, so if I look at the total amount in the third last column, 56% of the total budget has been spent, which I think is, we were planned about 50%, 56% has been spent, and then off for that quarter, 96% has been spent for that for the second quarter. I think if we turn over to the next page, still for the second quarter, the compensation of employees, that was also a request in the past from the committee that we kind of break it down, but that's the occasion. The compensation of employees is the was 163 million rand. We've done adjustments as the CEO previously explained that we were busy with a restructuring. We call it Project Ignite, the matrix system, and we our total post available is 202 positions, and that's in the and it's in the E&E document. One will see that. So that amount we just had to shift from different programs to make it good in terms of the Ignite and the people that we have appointed to achieve that amount. That's where the 50 million rand comes from. So in total, the amount, the cost for compensation will be 193 million rand. For the second quarter, we've planned 82 million rand. We've paid 81.5 million rand. So we had 42% and in total from the total budget. But as we progress the year, we are filling the empty the vacant position. We had, for the second quarter, we had 99% of the E&E of the budget. I can just perhaps as a matter of interest, it's not in the presentation, but our total remuneration cost is 14% of our total budget. So it's not a huge amount of our total budget. So we try to be within the budget in terms of that. If I look at total employee cost plus overhead, it's 22% in total. So we're still within the limit of 30% for overhead and personnel versus 70% for marketing to market the country. So we still try to maintain or to do better in terms of the ratio that we have agreed to on. Goods and services, it's 1.1, the balance is 1.1 billion rand. We have spent 58 billion rand of that, and there's a breakdown in the next slide. Building, no fixtures. We've got one building, no fixtures at the moment, and we're not planning to do any fixtures at the moment. The only thing that we are currently doing is that we are busy with the space planning for the new people, and the space planning, we went out on a feasibility study. It cost us 284,000 rand. It's been done. It's been submitted to EXCO in the last EXCO meeting. So we are waiting to see what's the impact of that feasibility study. So that will have an impact on building and other features. Nothing else. In terms of software and other intangibles, the amount spent for that was also to align. You can see there's a contract management and a system performance management system. The system that we implemented to integrate also to support the new Ignite matrix system. So that's the reason for that. So second quarter, we, as I've already explained, is 56%. The graphical breakdown, I think, in the next... Sorry, I think I have not used the slides. I've used it. I apologize for that. So this is the kind of thing in the pie chart, just to see, to look at a breakdown of how do our marketing, the marketing spend is. I don't know if there's anything I have to explain to that, but that's spent in terms of percentages. So goods and services is 11%, and the rest is for marketing expenditure, as I have explained in the previous slide. I think, Chair, that this number is talking to the previous slide. So in terms of total goods and services and marketing, it is that excludes personnel, is 1.56 million rand, and we have spent 670 million rand, which is 58% of our budget in the second quarter up till now. The reason for our 58% also is quite a lot of retainers that we need to pay upfront, and there's also quite a lot of upfront payments that we must do to our lead agencies for media campaign. So we will that's in terms of contract conditions that we will have to do. So that's the reason for the 58% in that slide. I think, Chair, if I can go then to the next slide. Thank you, Vice Chair. The next slide, that's the third quarter. I do not know how much I need to explain, go through all of the detail of that. I think the budget is exactly the same. The expenditure, I think that I can focus on that, if you will allow me, Chair. I think if one look at the planned income by 31st of December, it was 1.15 billion rand. We've received 1.17 billion rand right at the bottom. I think it's the third last column. So 85% of the budget revenue budget that we have planned for, we've already received in the third quarter. So for the third quarter target, year to date, on the third quarter, we have received 102% of our planned revenue, which we have planned for the revenue side. If I go to the expenditure side, I think also the same as in the second quarter. The amount is similar, it cannot change. The adjustments, as I've explained, we had to do it in terms of the project at night to make provision for computer equipment, facilities for them to work, and also to make provision for the appointment money, fund provision for the appointment of those new incumbents from that experience. So if I go to the actual expenditure, it's 78%. I think normally we should be on 70-75%. We also, I think, we're in line in terms of that. We have at 78%. And from the quarters, the first quarter, we 3% below the planned expenditure. And as we speak, since the October last year, the CEO, Basni, from Strategic and myself, are having meetings with all the business divisions every quarter to go through the budget and see if there's any priorities that we need to look at or not to look at, or to then to shift funds, also if there's a need to shift funds. So I think we are on track for year end. We are, I am 100% sure that we will not have any money left in the, at the year end, and we will not allow to have any money left because I think our mandate is to market the country, and we will make our best, we'll do our best not to have any money left. So we are on track as we speak. Even the February figures look very well, but I will report on that when we report in the fourth quarter. Chair, I think this is the next slide. It's again just an updated one for the third quarter. In terms of the total spend, is 78%. One will see that in terms of the personnel, we have planned to spend 141 million rand. We have only spent 112 million rand, but that's the nature of appointing people. You know, you advertising post, some people apply, some you can appoint some people quickly, sometimes you get the right people, sometimes you don't get the right people, but there is a plan which is managed by the COO, STAIR, to make sure that we do not slip on those appointments, to make sure that the matrix system is in full operations and we can be, the whole matrix has been operationalized. And that's the reason for the underspending there. I think the rest, we are on track. It's, 99% and 22% machinery equipment, as I've explained already, that we have not done, but the rest we are on track in terms of that. The next slide is again the breakdown of marketing expenditure. I can take you through that if you want, Chair. I think that is very clear in terms of that, and that is a summary of the next slide is a summary of that pie chart. So, Chair, I think in general, we are ahead with our revenue streams, and we are on track with our expenditure budget for SA Tourism. Again, just perhaps to again say again that we personnel is 14%, so far 14% on actual of our total budget, and then also with the overhead is 22%. So I think there's 78% only for marketing that we are using to support our mandate. Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Honourable Members.
Thank you, honourable members. Just moving over into the last section of the presentation and to take you through just some of the highlights in the area around human capital. As Tom mentioned previously, the approved headcount for South African Tourism is 202 employees. As at the end of December 2017, we had 85% of that total number occupied with a vacancy rate of 15%. Slide 43 provides the breakdown in terms of the different categories of employment. We'll skip over the next slide, 44, as well as 45, which gives some of the background to the organizational review that we had done. In terms of slide 46, as Tom had mentioned as well, and as the committee probably recalls, that this was the approach that we followed in terms of the restructuring process of South African Tourism organizational review, which was called Project Ignite. And where we are at the end of December is that all key activities in that process have been completed, and we are, as Tom mentioned as well, currently on the drive to fill the vacancies that have resulted as part of that process. On slide 47, there's a few initiatives or goals for human capital that have been tabled. And in terms of some of the goals, for example, the first one, which we talk about to creating a high-performance culture, I refer to the second column, it looks a bit pinkish there on the screen. The second one about to build human capital competitiveness as a core driver of South African tourism performance through integrated talent management and learning and development. Number three, to support the change agenda inherent in SA Tourism's business strategies and priorities through organizational development. And lastly, to ensure human capital basics are in place to promote organizational health and a sound employee relations climate. What we have done to date is our performance management system has been signed off and is currently, at the time, was in automation process, so that the automation of the system was in progress as at 31st December 2017. Our talent management framework was signed off, and this will be implemented in the second quarter of the new financial year. Our personal development plans have been put in place, and implementation on that has been progressing well, with ongoing development of initiatives, onboarding, and capability building across the value chain. In terms of our values, the South African tourism values have been reviewed and value-linked behaviors will be introduced to support the integration and build a high-performance culture in the organization. Our next employee engagement survey will be conducted in March 2018, this month. We are currently underway with a remuneration review. This will be all-encompassing to ensure that we also include recognition initiatives. From a learning and development perspective and organizational development, we've recently launched Chairing Disciplinary Yearing, the program for line managers. This will be rolled out to all line managers across the organization, and similarly other employee relation topics will follow in the following months. We also have an employee wellness program in place, and which is already being implemented. We've also finally recently appointed a mobility advisory agent. This is to assure that we have the basic human capitals in place. We are busy finalizing the mobility framework in the background. The configuration of the talent management suite is also underway, and will ensure that we cover human capital, the area from end to end. We're also will at a later stage look at how payroll is configured to ensure the full integration across the human capital initiative. Honourable Acting Chair, the next section is around governance, and in the past we've provided the details with the attendance at various board meetings across both quarters. And on slide 53, we've put through the remuneration for board as well as the travel costs for the board for the two quarters. Honourable Acting Chair, we've now come to the end of our presentation from South African Tourism. Thank you.
Thank you for your team. Chairperson of the board and the acting CEO, Tim. And then I would hand over to the honourable members to interact with the presentation. And I start with you, Honourable Kombok, followed by the other honourable. You can go ahead, Honourable Kombok.
Chair, I've got three questions. The first two are similar. If I can go to page 22, I think it is, with the decline in domestic holiday trips. I'm trying to find it. Is it on? No, sorry, it's on page 20. Okay. And in the reason for deviation, a statistic of a 39% decline in the total domestic trips was recorded, mainly because of a 48% decrease in visiting friends and relatives trips. And if we go on to page 23, it talks about domestic holiday revenue, and on this particular slide it does have the numbers, quarterly target of 2.1 billion rand versus expenditure or revenue, depending on which side you're looking at it from, against an actual of 0.7, which is exactly a third. So, although there's been a 39% decline in the number of trips, there's been a 67% decline in the revenue. And my first point is, I don't really understand why that number works out to the way that it does, because you do say that the actual spending increased per trip, right? Although the number of trips were less. So the increase in the one was more than offset by the decrease in the other. Okay? That's actually what's happening. What you've gained, you've lost more. And that, I think we made the point before in this committee, would appear to indicate that inequality has increased. There's not the decrease, not across the board. It appears as if there's a similar amount of wealthy people actually spending more, but there's far more poor people, and that's why there's such few less trips. So the Gini coefficient would appear to be getting worse. But what doesn't actually make sense is that although there's just under 40% decline in trips overall, there's a two-thirds decline in revenue, particularly if the spending per trip is actually getting better. So I'd just like you to explain that. And then the second question, which is related to that, it's more an observation which I'd like you to comment on. And that is a relatively small decrease in quarterly growth in the economy. And we had a technical recession in one quarter. And then we had a pretty low increase of 0.7%, and now the latest quarterly figures are a little bit more encouraging. But a marginal decrease in the percentage economic growth rate in that quarter would appear to trigger off a very, very significant decrease in tourism, which shows how tourism is a multiplier. That a small change in the national economy contributes massive changes in domestic tourism, and one would therefore like to think that if we start getting our domestic growth rates up just a little bit, the total number of trips and therefore the total number of spending would actually increase by an exponential amount. Now, I don't know whether it's a valid comparison to make, because if it isn't, then something else is driving this decline. You understand why I'm asking you the question. So it can't just be the one variable that's affecting the other. So could you comment on whether you expect the same increase if our economic growth rate has a pickup in the next quarter, as early indications are at work, or whether there might be other factors that would affect those statistics. And then my last question to the acting chair is, we were quite excited when we had a meeting in the Marx building, that particular committee room, when finally it was revealed that the econometric study to have a model that could indicate us what the optimum amount of advertising funding would be in any particular place was finally commissioned. I think it was Oxford that did it for us. And it was disclosed at that meeting that a pilot study using that model and testing out those funding recommendations had commenced in the Nordic countries. And I just wondered why we haven't heard anything from you. There's been some time now as to how that is working out. Can we just get some information on whether, in fact, that study is now complete, or what stage it is, and what the indicators might be arising from using that model to optimize the right level of advertising spend? Thank you, Chair.
Honourable members, do you have anything? Yes, Honourable Teko, followed by Honourable Matthew.
Thanks, Chairperson. Let me welcome the presentation, the words from the board chair, and also the presentation from the presenter. Let me start from the other side, Chair, to ask, there is an indication on governance, on the remuneration of board members. There are those that there is no spending on them, be it on flight on. Does that mean they are inactive, those ones, or are they traveling in their own costs? When I was noticing that. On the issue of budget, I wanted to ask if there is no spending under the cost legal fees of consultancy, because there was no account on those. I just want to check. The other thing that I would like is for them to reflect on how the strategy of 5-on-5 is working for them. Just a highlight, and also a highlight on this year's Indaba. How will it be different from last year's? Are there any highlights that they can talk to? Chair, there are those areas when they are accounting where they say not due for reporting. Can they make an example? Because I think it's the second and the third quarter now. We are left with one quarter. So can I get an example where they say it's not due for reporting? Can I just, so that I'm able to say I understand it. There's something, Chair, that does not make strike a balance in me when they say there's a decline in VFRs than in holiday trips. When I consider the reason for that, when they say it's the economic conditions and whatever, it doesn't make sense to me when this one for leisure has an increase than the one of visiting friends and relatives. I was happy when I hear that they are to consider advocating for EPNB, because I'm seeing a potential in that area. You can't just let those establishments that are there and the people not getting into the industry. Lastly, Chair, on the issue of counting the numbers, I'm not happy in the way they are reporting on domestic tourism. Chair of the board has also talked to that. I'm not happy on the numbers. Is the system that we are using working for you? I think it's on the system, because movements are there. Thank you, Chair. At least that was that. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Let me welcome the presentation. And to start by saying I really feel comfortable when the CFO reports that he is assuring us that there will be no underspending at the end of the day. And that will be a very good move if it is. In most cases, people underspend, where we have a lot of challenges down there, where we are supposed to have helped the people who need assistance. So it will be a very good thing if we can do that. Secondly, on the issue of domestic trips,
we have not been doing well for some time, even though there are where it shows that it is better, but we are not yet there. What could be the bottlenecks in our case compared to other countries that are doing well? Have we ever tried to check with other countries and see where we are failing ourselves as the country? Maybe if we are able to do that, you can please us on that one. I also wanted to check as to whether maybe they have already some form of information as far as how the listeriosis virus is affecting the visitors coming to the country. Maybe they started this, I don't know, because I was late. I came late here from the Manco meeting. And also the issue of the crisis of water in this province. How are these affecting us? Have we got the study already, or maybe it can be given about that in the future? The issue of grading also, I just wanted to check how far are we with that issue of grading, because at one stage you said it is a bit difficult if people are doing it voluntarily. Mm-hmm. And if you rate yourself on something which is done voluntarily, it's not really easy. So how far are we with that one? Are we really approaching the situation where we can say it will be a compulsory way of doing things? The issue of I think it is on slide 43, of the workforce profile, which we indicated that in December we had all these vacancies below. How far are we with them? Have we appointed? What is the process? Where is the process of on this issue? Thank you so much, Honorable Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Our 7 points that I'd like to go through. Firstly, Indaba. I know that in previous years much has been said about the One Forward. At one stage, SAP was exploring the opportunity to partner with a service provider. And so I just want to find out what are the future plans with regards to Indaba. And then point number two, I've returned this morning from an engagement with the Cape Winelands District, LPA, which comprises of all of the tourism officials and the local authorities within that particular area. And we discussed the event destination marketing strategies, and we should use the technologies that exist, and for example, the mobile application route that was decided upon last year. And so they have been introduced now the mobile application. But I want to find out from SAP, what support do you render to district municipalities? Because it is a mandate of district municipalities to do destination marketing. And then the next level, your category B municipalities, would then be responsible for product development, user and people. So coming back to district level, it is a fact that many of them are struggling in terms of destination marketing. So they're trying to do the best with the resources available, and we know that the Western Cape Department of Economic Opportunities and Growth are supporting many of the districts within the province of the Western Cape. But I want to find out from you, what is SAT doing in terms of the system and providing capacity to districts throughout the country to market their destination, because it is firmly your responsibility to market our country, but you can't market our country if you don't market destinations within our country. So I just want to find out from you, what support are you giving to districts by using mobile applications? And I know that you are very much using the different technologies out there to promote South Africa by the Facebook apps, and I follow all the different social media platforms of SAP. But I want to find out more about the linkage between SAP and districts. So even provinces. But for now, coming from a district meeting this morning, I think that That's where my passion was, because they're doing a lot of very, very good producers. And we've seen it throughout the country, during our oversight. Point number three, air access. Now, last week, we've seen some remarkable figures released by the Western Cape air access strategy. I know that SAT is now involved with that endeavor. But, you know, to give an example, Madam Chair, I think it's 1.5 million two-way seats have been added to Cape Town since 2015 as a result of the air access strategy. 4.8 billion rand additional tourism revenue to the Western Cape economy as a result of just focusing on air access as one element. What are you doing in other destinations? Kimberley, Upington, Joburg, you know, but Joburg is obviously the hub. I want to see the same throughout the country. It can't only be about the Western. We really need to duplicate those places in other destinations. And we have to today, so we don't need to reinvent it. We are now involved in some safety. I'm really pushing that we see similar strategy for other provinces or other destinations. Point number four, township tourism. I think it was in the chairperson's introduction where she spoke about transformation. I firmly believe that that is an area that we really need to explore many more tourism opportunities, both businesses from the ground. We've got some great examples in the country, but they can't only be examples. That needs to be the norm. That's where we need to go and develop many more tourism businesses. So I just want to ask you, in terms of the township tourism strategy, can't we just linked to something. I almost want to say, Chair, should be a strategy of SAP and NDC. That's where we need to go to better more tourism for the year. Point number four, not just in terms of domestic tourism decline, and 4 years on this committee, I've been speaking about the affordability issue. And how can we make it more affordable for South Africans to travel? We know that the VAT increase is going to put many more South Africans under pressure, because now there's less, you know, disposable income to use for the luxury and somewhat sea tourism. But there's some great examples. You've got a board member in the name of Ember Dumini. And let's use that example. 50 things to do for under 50 rand in Cape Town. Who could have imagined that? Because we always see Cape Town as an expensive destination. But they've gone out and they've really, you know, looked at products that we can make much more accessible by linking them all together, and they've now launched a campaign for 50 things to do in Cape Town for under 50 rand. Why not SAT? That should be something that should speak to South African citizens. If you go and look at your advertisements, I think they're great. They want to. When I look at your TV advertisements, they inspire me to go on a holiday. But the barrier to do that is time, because we all are working very hard, but money even more so. And if you put there something about affordability, I really think you're taking would see the numbers that you want to do. But now remember, Cape Town Tourism is also a destination marketing agency. So I'm putting the challenge with SAT, because you're on a national scale. Why not look at the similar type of campaign? Point number six, Airbnb, the shared economy approach. They need to come into that space. Cape Town has got something like 17,000 Airbnbs already. I might be quoting the wrong figure. I think it's in the 20,000 now, if I'm not mistaken. But there's an opportunity, because every report you are telling us about the number of guided facilities is boring. Let's make it exciting. Now, Airbnb, that could be a real important player to get the figures that we want. But it wasn't only about the numbers, it must also be about the adding to the value of tourism in our country. Because, Madam Chair, some Airbnbs out there are not up to standard, and I know that is the big debate at the moment. I've spoken at an Airbnb conference last year, and I said to them, guys, you need to actually start by adhering to the municipal regulation. That's where you need to start at. But that's a debate on its own, because local authorities need to deal with that. We, from a national level, need to make sure that the Airbnbs are performing well and that they are not damaging our tourism brand. So what support we should effectively be giving Airbnb in terms of training, capacity and so on? It's a long shot because there are thousands of them popping up all over, but I think we need to start somewhere. Then, point number seven, my last point, is that the World Travel Market, which is on the 18th of April. If you can just give us some feedback, what is the SAP's plans for the World Travel Market? I know that you've got a stand there, I know that you're bringing some emerging tourism operators, but I think share with the committee about your plans for the World Travel Market, some exciting tourism space to be involved in, and some teams here, what are your plans for this year? Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you for the presentation. Chair, you know, it was interesting, the input from the chairperson of the board. He made a lot of comments. And I would want to throw it to the, is she the CEO or HOD? Acting? Yeah. But I would like her to come in on some of that things. The chairperson, for example, said trips, family trips are growing, but general travel is not growing. Is your matrix correct? I want you to take her on that. Then chairperson, I'm a bit slow, but you mustn't get. Yeah, and the impact, I was covered by my colleague on the impact of these diseases, disasters that we have in South Africa. But these diseases, disasters are everywhere in the world. Can we, is there international lessons that we can learn from them how to handle them and to be proactive with regard to that? Our disaster management strategy. Then, Chairperson, my first question is on the governance, Chairperson of the board. You know, I looked for the first time in this 4.5 years at the dates which the meetings I asked. And it struck me that in the second quarter, the first meeting for the board in the attendance was, if I look now correctly, the 26th of July, and the last one was on the 12th of September. And I wrote here, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 meetings in 18 days. The spread of that. Because to me, it's important. It's very important. It looks as if it's just a dumping. We must remember, oh, there wasn't a meeting like that. We must do that. If she can speak to that. Then I don't understand on your slide 52, there's some crosses in the box. There's a right mark. What does that mean? Does that mean that person wasn't there? And if I take the chairperson, because she is here. Tanya Abramser. 22nd of November, there's a cross. 21st of November, there's a strike like that. And the intervals of the meetings, is that to cost it to the start, to be cost effective? And enough of that. I've nothing else about you, because I'm just curious about why things is done in that way. Then on the human capital, I want to ask the following question. This time, CFO, I won't interrogate your table here. I just want to know, you say there's a 15% vacancy rate. Now 15% is 15%. What's the effect of that vacancy rate on your operationalization? Doesn't it affect your way things are done? Then on slide 47, I think,
Human Capital Initiatives update. There's a performance management system signed off and automation process in progress. Does that mean it's finished? The other one, you say you have workshops for chairing disciplinary hearings for line managers. Now, that's a very good thing. But does your staff, your human capital, knows what will happen during a disciplinary hearing? I know it's not your responsibility, because they should be unionized. But as an employer, they shouldn't go in there not knowing what is going to happen to them. Then, Jefferson, the last one. CFO, marketing is your work. It is work. And we have a list of marketing media, marketing productions. If we look at them one by one, some perform good. How do you measure it? Yes, 86% of the budget spent. But is the spent money relevant? Is it money well spent? But I'm getting to, do we get value for our money? And there are some marketing strategies that only spent 56%, 59%, 71%. The question I'm driving to, how do you measure these different marketing strategies we have? And are they in line with international best practices? Thank you, Jay.
Thank you, Chair. Let me just join another response saying, Madam Chair. The way you say it is so nice, Madam Chair. No, mine is few, Chair. I don't want to spoil the mood of what the members have said, but I'm just a bit worried about the document. When I'm looking at the document, it says you are only worried about making sure you're compliant to the terms. That's all. The spending and everything, you're just more focused on the treasury to make the treasury happy. It doesn't have an impact on the mandate that has been given to the SAT to create a space for people to have an opportunity to participate in tourism. You know why I'm saying that? This thing of visiting friends and family is an ongoing problem. And all the time when you get a report, affordability and everything, what is it that you've done to correct that? I'm referring to what the Honorable Foster said. Let's make something, let's make sure, Uti, next time when you come here, we can't only listen on ongoing problem, affordability and all. Let's correct it. If it's an affordability, let's correct it. Let's create the space for our people to be part of that, like what you said, incentive. What are we doing for them so that they will be part of that? So that, to me, when I'm looking at the document, I'm not sure if you are in line with the policy, because this government says radically we want to transform the economy. Are we doing enough to do that? Thank you very much, sir.
Honourable members, I've got just two questions that I would also pose to the entity. One is the link with the issue of domestic tourism, the value of the money that is spent versus what the outcome is. Because we are saying domestic tourism is on the decline, yet there is money that is spent around domestic tourism. And are we getting value for the money that we continuously spend? Because it's one thing to spend and know that the outcome is going to be this is in the decline. should we not look at other strategies? Because we don't want to just dispose money because it's planned for, but knowing that South Africans are not affording travel. I know that ever since we started in this committee, we had been saying let's employ different skills or different strategies on ensuring that it's enticing for South Africans to travel domestically. But we are not getting the desired outcome. Hence, I remember at some stage, SAT hired a consultant, a company that would be driving the domestic tourism strategy. There was at the time where there was a company that was supposed to look at how best can South Africa be marketed domestically, so that you were able to use the reinforced money that was there for domestic tourism. So perhaps give us a COO together with your team. I'm also not leaving you behind, a chairperson of the board, to say the value of the money that is spent versus the actual outcome. And then the second question is on, I think it's slide 34, the environment or the adjustment for the compensation of employees. Immediately when you say that you had to take money from different programs to compensate your employees, it means somehow, somewhere, your planning was not done properly, so, in a way, because you had to take money from elsewhere to compensate your employees. Because you say that you are using all the money that you are given and you are right on target in terms of spending your money in all the quarters, but when you take money elsewhere from a different program to compensate your employees, it means your restructuring or the people that you are bringing on board as new employees to the entity are not well funded, or you did not do the planning properly. Perhaps can you tell us where was that money taken from, and moving forward, what are you going to do to mitigate against such spending? Because such spending results to irregular at times, because you are taking money from elsewhere to compensate something else that you should have been, it should have been part of your planning in your organogram. And you say we've got so many employees, all these positions should be budgeted for and having money for the compensation. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chair, Madam Chair. I'm going to ask my colleagues to answer many of these questions, but just a broad comment. I think many of your comments around domestic tourism is why we at the board want to really focus on a relook and a reboot and a working closely with the department on the domestic tourism conundrum. First of all, the reasons have changed, and so we really need to relook. And even the strategy might definitely change, because clearly there's something that's not quite working there. So that's what we want to focus on this year. But let me just, so a lot of the questions that came out of that. So let's just, I want to answer some of MP Adams' questions and some of MP Trejo Sovita's questions on governance and remuneration. So just to say that a large part of last year I took a sabbatical. And I was not the chair. I was full-time staff member and public servant, which is why the money for me is such a little, because I, as a full-time public servant, I didn't get paid. So what you see there, that 16,000 is really for travel, that I couldn't get my own organization to pay. So that's one of the reasons why. I'm not sick, if anybody's asking, because I was on a sabbatical, it's not quite affected there. One of the things, MP Adams, that we have been very, very cognizant of is that we're a big board, and it costs a lot of money to have a board meeting. And so what we've done is deciding to do a board meeting all in two days. We do all the committees on one day. We then use the SAT's money to put people up for one night, and then we have the next day for the proper board meeting. There's a downside and upside to that. First of all, the administrative staff have to be very quick in getting the list of agreements for the next day. But for a board our size, the kind of costs that can be to run that board can be enormous. So this was one of the ways to reduce costs. We have all our meetings, our board meetings, set up for the whole year. We have it once a quarter, and we have committee meetings once a quarter. And we try to have those committee meetings in the same period and the same few days as the board meeting, mainly to save costs. But as I say, I think sometimes in saving that cost, we have a frantic 2 days of meeting. But it saves enormous amount of money. So it also answers, I think, a little bit, your comment about where it says no money, does that mean that they're not active? No, it mainly means that they probably are public servants. So Dumini, for example, I think another example, myself and others, would not get a board fee at all because that's why it would look like that. The other questions, I think I'll leave it to my colleagues, unless there's any other governance issues.
Quite a few questions. I'm trying to see if we can look at all the domestic questions separately and then just pick up on other ones that are standalone. Maybe I'll start from the end.
There's quite a lot of questions about analyzing the figures.
Okay. Of domestic children, those will be dealt with in the domestic space. So there were questions from Honourable Becker on the VFR affordability. And the committee expressing its dissatisfaction that every time we don't come with initiatives, we say, what is it that we're doing to actually drive the issue of affordability? When we started, I think in the 27 financial year, which is the quarter two and quarter three that we are reviewing, we felt that there are two jobs that we needed to do in domestic. The one thing that we always came to the committee to talk about was South Africans do not have the culture of tax. And as a result, the entire country is not galvanized to support tourism. That's when we launched the whole movement around We Do Tourism. And the We Do Tourism basically essentially was to get South Africans to understand the value of tourism and to move away from saying we want to create a case for tourism or an economic case for tourism, but yet it doesn't make sense for people on the ground. And I think honorable members kept on saying, how does someone living in rural areas understand how tourism impacts their lives? So the whole movement around We Do Tourism was to ensure that everybody understood the role of tourism. I think we ran that campaign, launched it at Zindaba for the first 6 months, whilst we're still preparing to actually revitalize the short-left campaign that we had. Now, to deal with the issues of affordability, we needed to partner with trade, which was the most important partner in delivering domestic tourism. We did say to the committee previously that the trade we have, they do not believe that domestic tourism is actually a viable business for them. So we had to start by educating the trade. And in this instance, we felt that this gave us an opportunity to bring in new trade, to drive the transformation, SME products. So that's what we've done. On our short left deals page, what we have done to actually deal with the issue of affordability is to ensure that when we run this campaign, at the back end, remembering that we don't have a booking facility at a tourism. We create that demand. We inspire people to travel. But we understand that the conversion part becomes very important. So in our short left deals page, we said, one of the things to deal with the issue of affordability, we must actually put on packages which are affordable. We started with, I think, packages as cheap as, or as affordable as $4.99 packages. These included issues like your day trips, visiting attractions, experiences around townships, because those are the ones that we can actually package and try to market through this deals page. We didn't limit it to deals page only. We used, Honorable Forces point, social media as well. So in the social media campaign, we didn't do the inspiration job because we do understand that it doesn't, it has moved beyond showing a pretty picture. It has to come to a point where you're saying, how do we enable people to travel? When you say things are affordable in your campaign, someone must be able to go somewhere to be able to click through and book that campaign. So those are the things that we're battling with. But to Chet's point, there's a thing around how do we then begin to measure and put KPIs to do this. There's a Basil will talk about issues around measurements and steps. But when we now deal with steps and performance around domestic, what still, you know, referring to a tourist who is now like a sleepover, a 24-hour thing. But yet, Total Trips talks to how do we then encourage people to travel for VFR. How do we encourage people to travel for business? Now the debate is, as in tourism, will you be able to actually, now, and I'm talking frankly because this is a safe space, will you be able to actually encourage people to travel for corporate? Because when you look at the measure of Total Trips, it includes corporate travel. It includes business travel. It includes VFR, which means I have to take a decision to say I'm traveling to Limpopo because there's a funeral, I'm going to sleep over. Now, what are some of the things that we can do to influence that? And I think it's a bigger discussion than SA Tourism. And I remember, acting chair, there was a call to come back in this committee and have a day to really discuss issues of domestic tourism and as well as measurement. But at the point which Honorable Forst has made around what Cape Town Tourism is doing and ends up being part of our board, in terms of those campaigns, I think you know that is welcome. In terms of township tourism, what we have worked with provincial tourism authorities, we, in fact, our last meeting was now in January. We've done the consultation with them. We've put together the MOUs. The MOUs will now include a province that now coordinates work of municipalities. Because the whole debate was SSA tourism. Do you now leave the province out of the debate and go straight to a local municipality or a district, or you actually partner with the province to coordinate that work on the ground? One of the things that we have is product development. And you are right to say, as I say, tourism, we can't market the country if we don't even know where the products are. Part of that MOU that we've now put, which is we kicked in now the new financial year, is including issues of product development. How do we then create a product database as a collective? And this product database is not for domestic only, but also for international. Because when we push our international trade to diversify products in South Africa, to say, look at other things except Cape Town, they tell me, give us the DMCs and your tour operators who can package other stuff. So we are working with provincial tourism authorities, and we're pushing them to coordinate the work of local government. The other partner that we, the CEO and obviously the EXCO team had said that we need to bring them on board is SALGA, so that we bring them closer to the provincial tourism authorities and begin to have an MOU that we will track and put KPIs in it. So that's where we can contribute around township tourism. But also, in the work that we do to promote township tourism, we have what we call FEM trips, and that's where we can influence the South African tourism. In our FEM trips, which applies to international travelers, we expose trade and media to our product. One of the things that we have now pushed as a compulsory thing to do is in the itineraries, we've got to package township experience. There's a whole, chain of command in terms of approving those things, and it is to drive issues of transformation. So we know that our country offices, when they say, okay, we want to bring trade to South Africa to, for them to experience your product, one of the things that they have to do is SME experience, but also township tourism. And we welcome the recommendation that perhaps we need to look at the township tourism strategy as opposed to doing it piecemeal. It's a thing that we might want to take back to the board to drive for us, because the chair last year did meet with the chairs of provincial tourism authorities. So perhaps this is one of the projects that could be run from that. On the air access, I think last week there was a summit to deal with this air access thing. And I think you're right to say the Western Cape government has now looked at that and they put a blueprint for us to learn. And I know that the KZN government as well, equally, they put together an airlift strategy or air access strategy that was supporting. But also the air access summit was also to look at how does air access assist us with domestic as well, because it's not just international. So we're trying to push in every forum with the trade, government, and SA tourism and provincial tourism authorities that are in conversation. Domestic tourism must be part of the discussion. And we are now forging partnerships such as AXA to look at how do we then encourage or bring back things like your midnight flights to encourage domestic tourism from an air access point of view. I must say, if you look at Bashni and Tim's analysis, one of the key barriers for us is value for money. And if you look at value for money, it's not about the destination is very expensive for people to get here, but the first interaction that a tourist has is that cost for the ticket. I mean, if you look at our numbers, the 2017 numbers for Netherlands, they've gone down. And one of the critical issues besides safety and security is around the increase on effort. So those are the things that we're now taking, obviously, with the lead of our CMO and the CEO in that discussion with trade. I think that in the next session, Chair, we might want to bring back what are the things that or initiatives that we've put in place to look at the air access issue. There was a question around Airbnb and the shared economy and what we're doing with homestays as opposed to look at trading and the numbers only. We have brought to the attention of the department on issues of homestays and how do we then begin to integrate homestays, Airbnb to supply side. Because one of the things that I would refer to Bastien because she was in market, she was in South Europe. One of the things that she will tell you is she will come to her head offices and say to us, you want me to push 5 in 5. I don't have enough product to accommodate my French market. I don't have enough product to accommodate the Italian market. So those are the things that we are now discussing with the department to say, how do we then begin to regularize issues of Airbnb so that as SA Tourism, we partner with them quite openly, knowing that the legislative framework and the regulatory issues have been dealt with. Similarly to homestays, how do we then ensure that we bring them on board as part of the supply and the product database, but we need policy to lead us first, so that we don't find ourselves in a compromising situation. For Airbnb, we've actually discussed internally. It is one initiative or one platform that could assist us with domestic tourism. Because the issues of affordability would be dealt with. You have homestays, it's dealing with issues of affordability. So as soon as we get to a point where with the department we have an agreement around what are the policy issues, what is the policy direction, we could heavily embrace them as a critical partner. There was a question around how are we dealing with disaster. As the chairperson in her opening, she was talking about the water crisis and the CEO having gone to global roadshow to discuss this thing. Currently, what we're faced with obviously is issues around how our brand is conceived and how all of these things impact our brand awareness and brand positivity. What we've done is we continuously partner with trade for positive messaging, because there's absolutely nothing we can do. If I mean, for the Europe market, we know that what one of the key things that is actually affecting us is safety and security, or perception around safety and security. In our North Europe market, we've seen a decline, because after 2 months there has been a, you know, that story reported around the Dutch tourists having been attacked. And the first thing that the consumer in that region go to is the trade, and the trade redirects them to other destinations. So what we do is we partner with them to educate them around what are some of the things that government is doing to actually address issues of safety and security. But also, we have seen a positive impact in partnering with DERCO. Because DERCO, if you look at all the missions, we've got about 126 missions. So all the messaging that we take to our trade, we equally take to our missions to help us actually spread the positive messaging around safety and security. We have now recently started an initiative where we partner with South Africans living abroad, because we've realized that even if we actually communicate with the consumer there, we communicate with the trade, we still have our own South Africans actually speaking, about issues of safety and security to our detriment. So we started that campaign. We started in Australia towards the end of last year, where we had a campaign of Come Home Bruce, educating them of some of the changes that are in the country, some of the initiatives that we're doing to deal with safety and security issues. And I think that campaign has now moved over to the UK, where we have a large expert community. So other disasters such as water issues, we now have received, obviously, communication from COPTA, because COPTA, remember, has a disaster management committee that they deal with. So we have a membership there. The meeting happens like once a month to discuss disaster across the board. Water issue is a tropical one now. So on a monthly basis, we have meetings with them, and all the messaging that comes from that committee is now spread using our media partnerships, using our missions, and using other means like your trade. Last year we had about 95 hidden gems. I think that was the new thing that we introduced last year. We had 95 hidden gems, and this is a partnership with the department. And this is to ensure that we diversify and drive transformation, and ensure that we have products to cover for both domestic and international. So one of the things that we want to do this year is to use Indaba to ensure that trade believes that domestic tourism or domestic market is actually a viable business. So we have the 95 hidden gems last year. This year, I think we are trying to get to add another 45 to the hidden gems that we've had last year. And the 45 hidden gems would be obviously products across the board, new experiences, B&Bs, very small products that covers the 9 provinces, because geographic spread is one thing that we try by all means to deal with. And these 45 SMEs will now be trained. We're in a process of getting a partner to train them, just to prepare them for INDAP. But it doesn't end with INDAP. We want to ensure that this is a continuous, we create a continuous platform for them, or create market access for them. As we speak, the CEO is at ITB in Germany. We've taken a couple of SMEs there to actually now try and match them with trade overseas. The very same hidden gems are the ones who are helping us to package affordable deals for domestic. So we try by all means that it's not a once-off arrangement with Indaba, but there's a continuous program that we deal with them. In terms of the partner that we have said that we'll get, currently, obviously, we know that Indaba has now moved to Durban for the coming 5 years. Now it's 4 years. We have now appointed an exhibition management company. It's not a partner, but it's a service provider whose responsibility is to...
That's a partner question.
Yeah, that's the partner question. So it's not, we've moved from a partner question to let's get an exhibition management company in place. That's Synergy that has been appointed. But also we use our lead agency to help us with obviously marketing of Indaba and obviously the events that happen around Indaba. In terms of how we move forward, Chair, I think this I'll leave to you as to whether there is that appetite to continue to actually look at getting a partner as opposed to the way we're dealing with it now. It could be later. But for now, Honourable Force, it's an exhibition management company that we've now appointed to actually professionalize the platform, and then we use the lead agency to help us with the marketing of the events and other things.
Can I make a little comment on that? Yeah. You know, the interesting thing, the new board came in and there was this idea on the table that we would find that, you know, a very sharp value adding money on the table, new skills, new networks. And to be honest, when we looked at the proposals on the table from the various bidders, they didn't get that much extra value. And so it was quite a difficult decision for us to say, actually, I know the norm would be to say, no, we'll find a partner and the partner will add value, but that's just like getting married. We basically said, no, we didn't want to, and that we could do it ourselves, and in fact, in the end, we would add more value and it would cost us less. The things we would have to sell or we'd have to give away in order for that partnership to even start to work was just too much. So we're giving it a go. Just because it's all public sector doesn't mean it doesn't work, but we will give it a go, and if it doesn't, we will re-look at it.
Will this be the first one with Synergy, or was the last one with Synergy?
Yeah.
And we can
this
have
the first one.
Okay, so there will be something to work on.
Yeah.
I'm happy with that explanation.
Yeah.
I was very vocal with the on this issue, but I'm happy to give it a go, and maybe we'll get invited so we can have a look.
And the other things that we obviously adding to Indaba is around, last year we launched the Africa's Travel Indaba. And Africa as a continent now becomes important, their participation becomes important. And I think we're looking at an increased number of participation of African countries. I just don't have the list with me. But I think that Amanda and team have done a drive to actually interact with the missions in Pretoria, African missions, or the rest of the continent's missions that are in Pretoria, to ensure that we get them to be involved in that. But also we used an opportunity where the previous minister hosted a dinner with the SADC, because she chairs, the minister chaired SADC, to actually position in that to all the ministers who attended that SADC meeting and the SADC dinner. So those are some of the things that we are trying to bring in to Indaba. One of the key issues in terms of our partners at Indaba was how do we extend Indaba from just being a Durban ICC, Durban in town thing? How do we then begin to spread Indaba so that it's felt even in the township? We met with a team that is handling all the events and the activations. And the Durban team, and the KZN team, to look at where can we take some of the events so that it's not just at ICC and it ends there. With our post-tours as well extends to the entire KwaZulu-Natal province. Others are actually even outside so that the entire country begins to feel the impact of Indaba. Obviously, when in terms of hosting, we host international media, we host international trade. So after that Indaba, we take them on post tours. So the post tours will extend over and above KZN to ensure that the impact of Indaba is felt. We use it also to position the destination. One of the key things that board had driven was don't bring year on year, bring the same people. Go out there, find out who's actually selling competitor destinations. Get them to be introduced to the destination using Indaba. So that's what we're trying to do, and I think about 20% of our buyers are new, just to try and push for new people who have not sold us before, but they would, for example, be selling to Australia or a competitor destination like Thailand. So we're trying to get all of those things in place. I think it's... you're working, maybe it's something that I...
I just want to make sure we don't miss any questions. Yeah. And I just want to cover a couple of questions that were asked, and I'm sure my colleagues will pull it in. But on the 15% vacancies, definitely not having a warm body with skills in that space does have impact. But we at the board are very satisfied that when you do a major change process in an institution, which has happened with the Project Ignite, that a careful consideration of bringing in the right capacities and skills is fine. So in some cases, we've gone through and not found suitable people, we've sent them back. In other cases, because some of the senior overseas posts, for example, are with ministerial concurrence, we will ensure that the minister has input or has an opinion and concurs with the overseas posting individual. So from the board's perspective, we are not so much worried about that size of vacancies, to be honest. We don't want to rush it, because I think one of the key problems with change in institutions is staff unhappiness. And so that's why we're having the staff survey in this March in order to get to have a litmus test of how the staff is feeling after this major transformation. So that's a very good point. Then I want to just say, MP Beckard, that I want to take your point about impact, and I'm going to take that comment that you made. It's an issue that we want to understand. How do you measure impact? Which is why we want to revisit that information report and how do we get information from different sources. We don't only want to use South Africa sources or airport company sources or whatever, but to actually see it in a 360-degree way and deal with the complexity of that, because impact is quite a complicated metric. But I want to take the opportunity of using your comment to say this is something that the portfolio committee is really insisting on. They're insisting on a better understanding of impact. And then I guess that also comes to the minister, this acting care question is, are we getting value for money? And is that impact, in other words, real change on the ground of the value of the money we're getting from the taxpayer? And I think that's something that we must answer, and I'd like to say to many answers as well. I just thought that might go point in, because I do think that we should go now and answer all those domestic tourism questions, particularly the metrics and the numbers and the data, which I think is important to answer.
Okay. You have to go with the economic side, it's going to the MIS.
Thank you, Chair. Honourable members, just to look at a few of the areas and focusing more specifically on domestic tourism as it comes to the measurement, to the reporting of the numbers, etc. I think as our board chair has stated that, you know, they've already initiated a process where we review the entire strategy for domestic tourism that we've embarked on in the last few years. And I think she's touched on it now as well to say that understanding the complexity of the sector of domestic tourism, particularly in South Africa, is something that we're really trying to get a handle on. We have done a lot of work over the years, which I think has improved our understanding on the segment of the market, and it's quite encouraging for us, as we're seeing in initial analysis that we're doing, that the increase in holiday travel, domestic holiday travel, is what's changing. We are aware of looking at the impact of the economy on the different sectors. And Honourable Krumbrick, as you mentioned, of saying, you know, what would potentially be the impact of a slight improvement in the economy of what we're seeing. Stats SA have recently reported an improvement in GDP in the last quarter of the calendar year of last year. We have yet to see what the impact on the results would be for that period. But I think this is where the complexity comes in, and where we try and understand the consumer from a domestic tourism perspective, what are the choices they're facing in terms of the money they have available, and understanding where are we and what do we need to do to improve that.
So that thing CEO mentioned, you know, I was in France for a bit of time. When you look at the French travelers, French people, the population, travel is so much part of their culture. And they travel irrespective of what economic pressures are. But what changes in economic pressures is how they travel. So they may, for example, do 2 long-haul trips in a year. When times are tough, they cut that down completely and probably travel a lot more domestically or to shorter-haul destinations. But travel is something that does not get sacrificed. And from some of the emerging information we're seeing in South Africa, that's not entirely true for us across the population. And these are the things that we're trying to understand a lot more of. Our strategy that we had done a few years ago on domestic tourism, when we did the research around the country, what people were saying to us are exactly the things we've talked about now. It's about information. Tell me where to go and what to do that's new and different. Because I only know where I've always gone on holiday. So tell me more. I'm very keen on traveling in my country. And the issue around making it more, and I think the issue of affordable can be misconstrued, but it's about giving me those options that I can choose to do things at different prices that suit me at different times. And I think in terms of the response on the campaign, which, you know, Stembisa has talked a little bit about, is encouraging to see the increase in holiday travel, although, as we're saying, it's not quite at the levels that we'd expect it to be and target it to be. And these are things that we're looking at, particularly on understanding the importance of the domestic base moving forward and what an important component it is of economic growth, inclusive growth, as our bigger strategic goal. The measurement of this has been a challenge over time. We've been working with Status A for a number of years. I lose track on how long it is. I think it's going to fast approach 10 years that we've been collaborating with Status A on how we can improve the measurement of domestic tourism in the country. South African Tourism has also been looking at different ways of collecting information, different information, to make this a rich understanding, you know, that we have a much richer understanding of the market. So that, from a metrics perspective, we understand the review, we're busy with it and looking at understanding what the lessons are that we've learned, what's not worked, and how do we then adapt this for a changing environment that we're seeing moving forward. Because the VFR component accounts for a large share, 70% of our total domestic travel market is for visiting friends and relatives. And so even if you see an increase in revenue in the holiday space, it's so small. Holiday is between 10 and 15% of total domestic trips. An increase there does not offset losses that you see in the VFR space. And these are things that we need to understand, and we're working on to say, how do we build the base of domestic tourism? How do you convert those that are in one segment of travel into different types of domestic travel segments that we're looking at? And this is some of the work that we're busy with currently, and we'll continue and update the committee as we move forward. On the issue of 5 in 5 and the strategy and is it working and how's that going for us, I think for the first time for South African tourism, that having that defined goal of adding 5 million more tourism trips in a 5-year period has given us so much more focus to make sure that there's a real number that we're counting and keeping track of. But the pillars of the strategy is what's making it effective for us, because it allows us to put our investment in areas that give us return. So we're year one down on the 5 in 5, and as you will see as we report in the next quarter, we did not meet. We've seen growth in tourism, but we did not meet our target. But there were a lot of lessons we've learned in the process. We've also, as an organization, undergone a major transformation in the form of our structure. So I think a lot of that has settled a lot more. That allows us to be a lot more focused and aggressive as we move forward. Because the underpinning part of the strategy is
our investment framework, where do we put money in for big returns, and how we then can, and I don't mean this in a way of being irregular expenditure, but about investment, investing in spaces and being agile to take advantage of opportunities that come up when we need it to be. Understanding the importance of brand, because when you're out in the market and you're trying to sell South Africa, you're selling a holiday to a country on a continent that people see as one country. So you're needing to see how strong is your brand relative to other brands around the world that we then need to grow. And that's a core pillar of our 5 in 5 strategy, as well as Thembiso mentioned, is that we don't own the actual product. So we have to partner with travel partners, tour operators, travel agents, products, etc., to get the message out. And a large part of our 5 in 5 strategy is about partnerships across the value chain to get that working. So I think a lot of the basics have been put in place in year one. We have fallen short in year one, largely because of some of the volume markets in Zimbabwe, for example, when monetary policy impacted how travel happened. But those lessons we've learned, we've adapted quickly. We're looking at how consumers buy travel, where they look for information. So we're quite confident that we're still on track for 5 in 5. We understand the exponential growth that we need to achieve. But a lot of the building blocks are now in place that will help us achieve that. And then I want to just talk quickly around the note on a KPI not due for reporting. And in our APP, we have KPIs that have been classified as annual targets and those that are broken down quarterly. So an example of a KPI that is not due for reporting now would be the staff satisfaction score. As we mentioned earlier, is that we don't measure satisfaction quarterly. We've measured it annually. And such an indicator, ma'am, will be an indicator that won't be due for reporting in neither these two quarters. They would be due for reporting in quarter four. Thank you.
We don't have the numbers now, but I know that there has been growth in the Nordic region because we were investing there for the very first time using the econometric model and the additional funding that we received from Treasury. I think what we'll do, Chair, we'll send the preliminary results for 2017, but focusing on those three markets that we got the additional funding for due to the econometric study.
So what I'm saying is that you're not able to give us even how
it had performed.
How far you are to preliminary stages of how much of the econometric study was to say overall how much does the department want to have in order to be able to do all these countries. And then you then take it up the benchmark it against countries that have used a similar model. And what are you saying to us? You're saying
no.
Remember, Chair, when
we presented this last time, we said the MIF model, the econometric study, is what got Treasury to give us additional funding as a pilot phase. We've identified markets wherein we, to invest. And Nordics was mentioned earlier. So Nordics was one of the areas or the blocks that we had to actually now invest this additional money that we got from them. Middle East was one of those regions. Now we've received our numbers from StatsSA. We now need to do an analysis to say what the increase that we see now on year one, was it based on the funding that we've received, which was a number that we got out of that study, to say if you invest in the Nordics region, this is how much you're going to get, so that we do that analysis. That's what I'm saying. After this, we can because now we've received now the 2017 December figures, we can do that analysis on just specifically on those markets that we're piloting.
Yeah, I think what you can add is also your 5 in 5 strategy, although it's 1 year,
mm-hmm.
perhaps also coupled with that, you could also give us something that says, are we on the right trajectory
mm-hmm.
in the 5 in 5 strategy, or are we actually not getting there, you know? Because it's one thing, I'm not saying, because you mentioned that you have not been able to meet the target, but
mm.
it could be you haven't met, but you are on the
yeah.
on
so
the trajectory
okay.
that says that you are moving towards achieving.
Thank you, Chair. Can I think I've got two questions to respond to. One is the legal cost. Yes, we have legal cost of 1.4 million rand. That's the only legal cost we have. It's two cases. The one is a case abroad, and one another case is in South Africa. And in terms of the, I think, Chair, just to give you comfort, is that in terms of, yes, we did a full planning in terms of our cost. What we didn't know at the time for the personnel cost is that how it will fall out of the structure. But the money was approved, went through the board. We have made provision for that, so the money, we didn't took it away. We kept it kind of aside. And then now we have kind of allocated to the different, because the structure has now been approved, it went through, and we are, and the money is now in a different structure. So we have, I can also assure you that in terms of the only funding that is ring-fenced for us is the subvention fund. So if we not using that money for subvention, that will be irregular. In terms of, we are a bit different in the departments, we can reallocate our personnel expenditure funds to other functions or for marketing. So I can assure you that we will not incur irregular expenditure on that specific amount. But in terms of planning, I think we have done a proper and thorough planning for that funding. Yes, we have the understanding as I report, but as we fill the post, we will spend that money. I think those were my two questions. Thank you.
Okay, there is comfort in what you're giving us. Do you have anything else to add, Tess?
Yes.
Honourable members, do you have anything to, maybe a follow-up on the questions? And if we don't have...
Sorry, WTM was the last one.
Yeah.
The Ndaba,
yes. And I think we are comforted by the fact that each and every... after the event, you do your own internal audit, and that gives us comfort to say that also measures the value of the money that's spent, the money that comes in. So there are checks and balances to ensure that there's compliance in many aspects of hosting these major events. I think your governance model is working correctly, and we are actually, as a portfolio committee, inspired by the fact that you put in place checks and balances, you know, doing your own internal audit to ensure that out of an event you are able to measure be it errors or things to improve in the future and avenues that you would want to do improvement. Without any further questions, honourable members, I would want to take this opportunity to welcome the presentation and our engagement with a SAT. It gives us comfort to understand the way they work, and also to be able to interrogate and get clarity on issues that we have concerns on. And I must say, ever since I've been to the committee since 2014, you do come back to us. Even if you have not given us responses, you do come back to us with a responses where there has been some grey areas. Without wasting any time, I would want to appreciate the fact that we had this meeting, and wish you well as you travel back to your various destinations. And us as members of parliament, we shall meet each other next week, Wednesday, same time. Thank you very much. The meeting
country. May I ask you about this minute, but there's also something else which I would like to mention to the committee, but maybe then if at least it's
okay, I will allow the fact that we can engage each other as a committee when SAT has excused us, but with the issue of minutes, we, together with the Secretary, we looked at the presentation that we are going to have next week, and it's a very short presentation, so we thought that we would have our last minutes coupled with this minute so that we take them at once, because we are going to have, it's sort of, it looks like a 30-minute presentation on GTEC.
Okay.
So that was the proposal.
Just to indicate, Madam Chair, that I think this might be the last meeting of the current board. We have the new board.
Just to indicate that. Let's wish you all the best and hope that we see familiar faces again in the new board, because we do not want to have an overhaul of the board. So we will see some familiar faces.
With institutional memory.
Thank you very much.